with different devotees, those who are the neophytes, how should we respect them? In the mind, yes. And those who are intermediate devotees? Love. Offer them obeisances, friendship, and peace. And those who are advanced devotees, we should serve them. Very sincerely serve them. Submissively serve them. So now, in text 6, we learn of the great pitfall to avoid in associating with pure devotees. Rishtaya sabhava janitaira vahushascha devashaya na prakritatva miha pakta janasya pasyet gangam pasam kalu buddha pena pakta gamha drivaktam apagashtite apagashtiti nirataram hai. Shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, is performed on the liberated platform. So a person who's situated on that platform is not affected by the modes of material nature. Namjyo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate sadhunam samadhikyayatam brahmabhuyayakopate. A person who's engaged in pure devotional service transcends the material platform. And therefore, to see the pure devotee from a materialistic point of view is offensive. One should not consider his bodily defects or consider him an ordinary conditioned soul. That's a great mistake. One of my godbrothers told me that when he first came to 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada was leading the kirtan, and the devotee was seen. Swami was leading kirtan. Then Prabhupada finished the kirtan and picked up his glasses to begin the class. And the devotee thought, what's this? What kind of Swami is he? He needs glasses. But that's a materialistic point of view. I also one time asked Srila Prabhupada a question. This was in 1975 in Mayapur. I said that sometimes we see from the materialistic point of view that a pure devotee makes mistakes, if there's some discrepancies. And Prabhupada said that's the material point of view. Because your viewpoint is wrong. That's why you find discrepancies. I said, so we should think that we have the defect? Prabhupada says, yes. Acharya has explained, bhakti sanjana, glorification of bhakti. One who's preaching the cult of devotional service, he's acharya. And why should we find any discrepancy? And I said, well, because we see, for instance, sometimes the acharya may seem to forget something or not to know something. So from our point of view, if someone has forgotten, that's an imperfection. So Prabhupada said, no, then you do not understand. Acharya is not God, omniscient. He is servant of God. His business is to preach bhakti cult. That is acharya. That's the perfection. Material point of view, we shouldn't see. Later my godbrothers jumped all over me. That was a morning walk in Mayapur. And I was pushing it, because sometimes he forgets something. We all saw the problem of sometimes forget a verse or quote a verse not exactly the way it was. So I was pushing the issue a little bit. And then after the walk, I was just on the train. And senior sannyasis and GDC men started bashing me. That was so offensive. How could you ask Prabhupada like that? So later I went to Srila Prabhupada, who was sitting in his room in Mayapur in the Lotus Building. I said, he just taking his breakfast, I think. I said, Srila Prabhupada? I said, what is that? I said, was that question this morning? Was that offensive? And Prabhupada said, what is that? So I said, you know, which question it was. Prabhupada said, not offensive, just ignorance. So, as we mentioned before, it takes one to know one. Unless one is actually a devotee, he cannot see another devotee perfectly. So there are bodily defects that may be seen. Devotee may have a bad complexion or some physical deformity or disease or infirmity, old age. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions old age, harshness, or lethargy. The spiritual master may be, or pure devotee may be seen to be very harsh, to be irritable. But that's not the criterion. The Padma Purana says, Sarvachara Vivarjita Satatiyo Vatya Jagat Panjana. Even if a person is a very bad character, a cheater, devoid of proper behavior, malicious, devoid of samskaras, and full of worldly desires, if he surrenders to the Lord, he must be considered a sadhu. Apiche Sudarachava, that verse is there. Someone is, even if someone sometimes seems to engage in volatile activities, he should be considered a sadhu, because his actual identity is that he's engaged in loving service to the Lord. Is not to be considered an ordinary human being. One shouldn't see from a material point of view. That's superficial and wrong. There are, however, circumstances where someone can be rejected? We thought he was a pure devotee and now we want to reject him. Is there such a thing? There are circumstances where even a guru may be rejected. There are three verses that are typically quoted in this connection. Yo vyakti nyaya rahitam anyayena shrotiyah tavu po narakam hodam vajata kalam akshayam narada panchvaksha. Anyone who poses as an acharya but gives unauthorized instructions, and anyone who claims to be his disciples and listens to those instructions, both of them are bound for hell eternally. Guror apyavalitasya karyakarya majanta utpatai pratipannasya pratyaga vidhita. If the guru becomes attached to sense gratification, loses his sense of duty, and follows a degraded path, a path other than devotional service to the Lord, he should be rejected. Avaishnavo vidishtena mantrena nirayam praje punascha vidhina samyam grihaye vaishnavadhuva. If one receives a mantra from a non-Vaishnav, illicitly connected with women, devoid of attachment to Krishna, one goes to hell. Therefore, one must take reinitiation from a Vaishnava guru according to the scriptural rules. Sometimes we find people come, they've already got a guru, this Baba or that Sri Sri or something, some bogus thing. Well, that doesn't count. If he's not a Vaishnava, then guru or Nasya, not considered. Or if he is a Vaishnava, then he follows some other path, turns his back on devotional service, becomes inimical to the service of the Lord and the devotees, then he can be redeemed. Absent that, one shouldn't reject the devotee of the Lord for some superficial bodily consideration. Arche Vishnu Shilandi Purushu Narati. You know that verse? If we think that the deity of the Lord is a stone, that the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, is an ordinary human being, or that the Vaishnav belongs to a particular caste. Here's an Hindu Vaishnav, here's an American Vaishnav, here's a Black Vaishnav, here's a White Vaishnav. Or if we think that the Charanamrita or the Ganga Jal is ordinary water, or that the Hare Krishna mantra is an ordinary sound, then the person who thinks that way is not a deity. He's already a resident of hell. He has a hellish mentality. Probably gives the example that the iron rod plunged into the fire picks up all the qualities of fire. So the body of the Vaishnava is considered spiritual because it's engaged in Krishna's service. Offenses to the Vaishnava are exceedingly corrosive. It's mentioned as a mad elephant offense. I think we talked about that the other day in the previous class. Adhimavata, mad elephant offense. The Lord may tolerate such offenses, or the devotee may tolerate it, but Krishna doesn't tolerate it. The blaspheming saintly persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Holy Name. A paramama parada, that's the worst offense. Did I talk about this in the previous class? Remind me, I've talked about it in the previous class, but was it this class or a different one? No, I didn't. This is three classes worth of stuff. There's, you want to talk about Vaishnava Parada, there's unlimited stuff there. Sati told Daksha that the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava brings one elevation, but if you offend the feet of the Vaishnava, that dust will diminish us. Nirasta Tejasu Tadeva Shodhana. That same dust, if one is envious, will diminish one. If one commits Vaishnava Aparadha, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. Notice all. Even though one is very much advanced in devotional service, if he commits offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement is all spoiled. 421.37. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. 6.17.15. In Harinam Chaitanya, chapter 4, an offender against a sadhu is one who criticizes a Vaishnava about his caste. Some unpremeditated accidental fall down, the last traces of his previous sins, or his sinful activities prior to his surrendering to Lord Krishna. This offender will never develop a taste for chanting the name. One who has taken complete shelter of the pure devotional process is considered a pure Vaishnava. The four above-mentioned faults may be present in him, but he is totally free from all the other shortcomings. So criticizing him spells doom for the offender. Glories of the Holy Name are spread by the Vaishnava. Lord Krishna does not tolerate any criticism against him. And the Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 18. As attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, so attachment can also be extinguished by offenses committed at the lotus feet of pure devotees. To be more clear, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's attachment can be extinguished. This extinguishing is like the waning of the full moon, which gradually decreases and at last becomes dark. One should therefore be very careful while associating with pure devotees to guard against committing an offense of their lotus feet. If the offense is very serious, one's attachment becomes almost nil, and if not very serious, one's attachment can become second class or third class. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 7, 8, 15, record, a pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit a great offense of criticizing devotion. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami never cared to hear blasphemy of a Vaishnava. Even when there were points to be criticized, he used to say that since all the Vaishnavas were engaged in the service of the Lord, he did not mind their faults. Serious business. Not to offend the Vaishnavas. Some examples of Vaishnava Bharatis and how they got it. Durvasa Muni got chased by the Sudarshan Chakra. Daksha, Prajapati Daksha, offended Lord Shiva.
Indra,
Not
Indra. Not Indra, Vyaspati.
Lord Indra, who did he offend?
Vyaspati.
Yeah, he offended his guru, Krishna's representative. Ramachandra Puri, who was offending all the Vaishnavas. Finally, he came to the point of criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. He became useless. He first even offended his spiritual master. He became a nonsense rascal. Some other examples? Yes? Mr. Nair, yeah. Contemporary example, somewhat contemporary. Someone else? Yeah, you led to his early death. Yes? Yeah, Jagai and Madhai, of course they were excused, but it was a serious offense. Someone else? I've got a list of them. Gopal Chakrabarti. And the chief, Haridas Thakur, you're giving these exaggerated things about the holy name of the Lord. If it's not true, may your nose fall off. You got leprosy in his fellow. Gopal Chapo, and the Shivas Thakur, trying to make him out like a Durga worshiper. You got leprosy also. Sajidevi, and then Dvaita Charya, if you know that story. King Nirgama, and the Brahmins, Jaya and Vijayas, the Kumaras, Chitraketu, Lord Shiva again. Sobhari Muni, and the Kundari Fent. Garuda. got angry at Guru Dev at first, and then he fell down. Suruchi, mother, stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj, defended the boy, and she had to suffer because he became a Vaishnava later. When she offended him, he was just a kid. But he later became a pure devotee of the Lord, and she and her son got the reactions for an offense to a Vaishnava. There's other examples, but I'll do it first. So one should therefore be very careful not to commit any offense against a Vaishnava. Every devotee should be ready to take instructions from a superior Vaishnava, and a superior Vaishnava must be ready to help an inferior Vaishnava in all respects. One is superior or inferior according to his spiritual development in Krishna consciousness. One is forbidden in the purport to observe the activities of the pure Vaishnava from a material point of view. For the neophyte especially, considering a pure devotee from a material point of view is very injurious. One should therefore avoid observing a pure devotee externally. Should try to see the internal features and understand how he is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can avoid seeing the pure devotee from a material point of view, and thus one can gradually become a purified devotee himself. Everyone should therefore be very careful not to be jealous of an empowered Vaishnava or a Shuddha Vaishnava. It is also an offense to consider an empowered Vaishnava an object of disciplinary action. It is offensive to try to give him advice or to correct him. One can distinguish between a neophyte Vaishnava and an advanced Vaishnava by their activities. The advanced Vaishnava is always situated as a spiritual master, and the neophyte is always considered his disciple. The spiritual master must not be subjected to the advice of a disciple, nor should a spiritual master be obliged to take instructions from those who are not his disciples. This is the sum and substance of Sri Rupa Goswami's advice in the sixth verse. Any questions about this?
That one out in the back bend out. Does that have rechargeable batteries in it or what? I mean, this has been doing this for the last 3 days. How long does it take to get in there and see that it's properly charged? How long was the charge last time? 2 hours, so that's why it's getting that. Why are we using that pin anyway? Oh, just for that, okay.
Okay,
it's working.
Maharaj, sometimes they may be an offensive thought in the other right devotees in their mind. They might have some offensive thought about some devotees.
Well, what happens if thoughts lead to actions?
So that's considered offensive.
Yeah, sure, it's offensive. It's an offensive thought.
How can one check that?
Yeah, by intelligence. One has to control the mind by intelligence. Probably what you're trying to see in the spiritual life. It may not be so corrosive if it's thought just in his mind, but from the mind it goes to an action. Someplace it said, if you're unhappy to see a Vaishnava, that's an offense.
a Vaishnava comes and you're not happy to see it, that in itself is already an offense. So the mind needs to be purified. That's the root of the problem, is the polluted mind. We have to purify the mind. Amani na amani na, we have to learn how to be humble. And we have to learn how to see a Vaishnava. It's not by how good he looks, how sweetly he talks. How he's engaged in the service of Krishna. Whether he's always smiling. That's not the question. How he's always engaged in the service of Krishna. We should be very, very careful not to offend any devotee to the Lord. And especially not to offend advanced devotees. But we've read this morning, pure devotee. Anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna even once has to be considered pure. How careful should we be? In Chaitanya Bhagavad, Vrindavanas Thakur was basically on these two points, that we should chant the holy name of the Lord and we should avoid offenses of pure devotees. We want to associate with pure devotees, but not offensively. Yes? Yes, yes.
Are there any circumstances under which the spiritual master can reject his disciple?
Can the spiritual master reject the disciples? Yes.
What are the circumstances?
He becomes a nonsense master. One of my godbrothers, you probably don't remember, there was a guy named Bal Gopal, who was a guru, Guru Maharaj Ji. He was in nonsense. Yes, he was an incarnation of God who was prancing around for a little while. Probably used to call him Guruji God. And one of Prabhupada's disciples became attracted to him and wrote a letter to Prabhupada telling Prabhupada that he should surrender to Guruji God. Prabhupada just wrote him back and said, "You're just a nonsense, what can be said about you? And your Guruji God has now been arrested by the customs officials." But yeah, you can cook your goose, as they say. You can be rejected by them. Depends on the spiritual master. We don't advise testing them. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sometimes there might be a spiritual master who seems to advise to us to ISKCON. But this spiritual master is not within the ISKCON society. How should we behave towards that
sector? Towards a spiritual master who's not in his own,
that seems to be in his. What should our relationship, are we allowed to associate with him, and how should we associate with him?
There may be spiritual masters. First of all, ISKCON doesn't have a monopoly on everything. Not that the measure of ISKCON can be advised on. The world has Ramanuja Vaishnavas, Madhvaita Vaishnavas, their Bodhi Vaishnavas. We shouldn't think that we're the only Vaishnavas in the world. So those who are Vaishnavas, they may not be in this country, but they should be respected. We may not, just like Prabhupada, he was quite careful to instruct us to avoid intimately associating with his godbrothers. There were, as one would say, issues there. And Prabhupada was quite, even if someone had gone to one of their months, Prabhupada would be instantly alert. Why did they go there? Who told them they could go? Who else went with him? What did they do there? Who did they meet there? What did they say? It probably be light on him sometimes. He would be particularly attentive because, as I say, there were issues. Some of his godbrothers tried to reinitiate some of his disciples. There were serious issues. They were criticized for their problems sometimes. So Prabhupada was particularly careful about that. But he, so therefore he generally was quite strict not to go there, not to associate. But that doesn't mean that we should disrespect him. Prabhupada himself used to say quite stern and sometimes even colorful things about his godbrothers. Very small things. So one time, Hareshwar Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary, who was hearing such things, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how is it that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could have disciples who were such masters?" And Prabhupada became very grave and said to him, "You have said the wrong thing." He said, "My Guru Maharaj never had any disciples who were masters." I can call them masters. You can. We should be very careful. We may not associate with those who are not members of our community. There may be, as in Prabhupada's time, issues. But we should be very careful not to disrespect the Vaishnavas, especially the senior Vaishnavas. We should be very, very careful. We've seen that sometimes people who promote their spiritual career are authentic. There's nothing in Shastra that says that one should not offend in this kind of question. If he's outside of this kind of many open season in your life. One should be very careful to avoid it. Therefore, we may not associate. Because if we associate, then we may become involved in offenses. Can't associate offenses or some issues there. And we may respect them. One is generally advised to associate with the devotees in one's own community. In the Hari Bhakti Sutta, that advice is given. One should associate with the devotees within one's own self-development. But it doesn't mean we should be disrespectful toward the members of other communities to Vaishnavas outside of this country. We should be very careful about that. To discipline devotee children by criticizing them. Justifiable offense. It's our duty. It's an offense if you don't. Just like Arjuna. He thought that it would be better to excuse his relatives. It will be sinful if I fight them. No, it will be sinful if you don't fight them. So why? Because it's our duty. So our duty, the duty of Chanakya Pandit says, is the duty of the spiritual master or the father to criticize the child. It's good for him. It's good for him. Prabhupada used to criticize right, left, center, all directions in between. He would really try to criticize us. That's helpful. Yes.
Ayashmash, I'm asking about offenses themselves. Devotees are very quick to say don't offend. What are offenses really? Because sometimes we make small things that are not really offenses are offenses.
Well, I gave the example, if you're not happy to see a Vaishnava, that's an offense. You can start from there. If that's an offense, I'll give it up for that. It's mentioned in the chapter concerning Bhrigu Muni and the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He deliberately offended each of them to test them. Well, the first offense was mental. He offended his father, Lord Brahma, by failing to offer obeisance. It means in his mind he was offensive. Then he offended Lord Shiva verbally. Instead of embracing Lord Shiva, get away from me, you're contaminated, wearing skulls and ashes from the crematorium, and yuck. Then he went to Lord Vishnu and offended him corporally by kicking him in the chest. So Prabhupada discusses in that chapter there was three degrees of offense. Verbal, mental, then worse than that, verbal, worse than that, corporal. So even mental offenses we should avoid. I mean, at least they shouldn't become verbal. And God forbid they should become corporate.
Raj, my discrimination of the things is impurity. Is my discrimination connected with
that? Offense is impurity? Yeah, offense is impurity, but it's a particular manifestation of impurity. By impurity, I may be confused, or I may be so many other things may be here. But when, on account of impurity, I disrespect a Vaishnava, that's offense. Particular species of impurity, particularly dangerous species of impurity. Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It says here that it is also an offense to consider that Lord Vaishnava an object of disciplinary action.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offense to try to give advice or to correct him. How does this work with the ISKCON, with the GDC, and different groups?
Yeah. Interesting question. Of course, it's particularly meant. What's better? It's not that when one accepts a disciple, then he's kind of got like a badge, you know, you can't touch me anymore. You know, it's not that now one has got some sort of immunity from all. Illegal activities. Oh, my disciples. Again, discipline. That's not. But one should be very careful, even management. The basic principle is respect. Vaishnavas should be respected.
and especially senior Vaishnavas or advanced Vaishnavas should be respected. Of course, management is such a thing that it has to take into account different contending considerations. About the manager, should be very careful not to offend advanced Vaishnavas. There's no, just as there's no badge of immunity attached to a person who takes disciples, there's no badge of immunity that is placed on the chest of a manager. No, I have a manager. Manager should be very careful. But managers have duties also, so they can. They have to somehow take into account both things. How to perform their prescribed duties and how not to offend questions. Anything else? Maybe last one, just go through. In fact, I'm going to stop here because otherwise text 7 doesn't get done. And we should do text 7, right? You all want to do text 7? A little time again? Okay. I like just letting things go as long as they can. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Vidya Pitto Pitapta Rasanasya Narojikani Kintvara Rada Tinam Kalu Saiva Vishta Svati Kramad Avadita Gadamula Tri. The example is very nice. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance cannot taste anything sweet, it's wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at Guru. The jaundice is a disease of the liver. You probably know people's eyes and skin turn yellow. They can't eat everything. Tasteless or bitter. Have no appetite. But lots of fun if you ever had jaundice. You like it a lot. And the cure for jaundice is sugar candy, mishri. Mixed mishri, sugar candy with water. You have to drink that water every day. And that gradually treats the disease. But the problem is that the sugar candy tastes bitter because you have jaundice. But if you take it day after day after day after day, gradually it has its effect, and the symptom of your cure is that now the sugar candy tastes sweet. Well, that's the example. In the beginning, you may not have so much taste for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord and his pastimes or characteristics. But if we continue day after day, then gradually will come to the sweet side. How we lose our taste, I refer you to Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-32-33, where the Kumaras are instructing Maharaj Prithu. And essentially he says, when we turn away from Krishna and think that something else is sweeter than self-realization, then we lose our Krishna consciousness. Ignorance perverts the ability to relish Krishna's name, form, and so on. And following blind leaders makes our ignorance worse. The only cure for this material disease is the chanting of the holy name with great care and attention. What does it mean, great care and attention? Yes, it means avoiding the 10 offenses.
When a neophyte takes to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he generally commits many offenses. There are 10 basic offenses, and if the devotee avoids these, he can glimpse the next stage, which is situated between offensive chanting and pure chanting. This is called Pavamaha Navagni Nirvana. As soon as one is liberated from the blazing fire of material existence, he can relish the taste of transcendental life. Srila Prabhupada explains that chanting from the earliest stage of Shraddha, stage of initial faith or interest, up to the point of Krishna Prema, the highest stage of love for Krishna, the chanting of the holy name is both the means and the end. Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement, I think this is quoted, I don't see quotation marks here, but it looks like it's either a quotation or a paraphrase. The Krishna consciousness movement creates a Shraddha, faith, by spreading the chanting of the holy name, and strengthens that faith by giving us sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. Then it gives us a facility to engage in practical service to the spiritual master, bhajana kriya. And by such service, one's samarthas are gradually managed. When one comes to the platform of steady service, nishtha, our taste, ruchi, increases. When our taste is strong, we come to the platform of asati, attachment to the activities of Krishna consciousness. And from asati, one rises to the pure, the emotional platform, bhava. And when bhava becomes more condensed, it's called prema. I think that's not a quotation, but paraphrase of what happens there. Chanting the holy name is crucial. Can we have some time? More questions? Previous verse, this verse, whatever you like. Or previous previous. You had a question, I cut you off. Yeah, Paul himself, huh? Yeah, thank you. St. Paul himself, he started off as a scoffer and a critic, and then he became what he was against. So he was certainly forgiven. But But if it kept on the other way, it would have been bad news for him. Good to have some people out here. Thank you. Something else? We should be very careful about Vaishnava Puranas. Very careful. Yes?
Or is it possible that one commits an offense but doesn't realize?
Yeah, that may happen. And still, you may get it. You put your hand in the fire, you don't realize. Doesn't mean you don't get burned, touching electric wire, and really realizing what it is. We're doing so many things, we do big things. And fire doesn't say, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing.
So, how does one rectify that, find out where the offense was?
Yeah, he has to see, what have I done? He has to look at his own situation and say, what have I done? Try to rectify. Practically can be overemphasized how corrosive are the effects of offending emotions. Very, very bad.
But an offense, if the one who is offended asks for forgiveness and doesn't want to ask one to give you forgiveness, is that offense up to you?
No, no, no. Try that.
If you ask somebody to forgive you for your offense, and he refuses flatly to forgive you, is that an offense to the one that's asked for forgiveness?
If you ask offense and ask forgiveness and it's not given, is that offensive to you? I wouldn't take that position if I were a person who was seeking forgiveness. I asked forgiveness of you and you wouldn't forgive me? What kind of Vaishnava are you? Whoa. You don't want to be in that position. But generally, Vaishnavas are very forgiving by nature. We're reluctant to ask forgiveness. That's the usual problem. The usual problem is not that the Vaishnavas don't forgive, but that the offenders don't ask forgiveness. Otherwise, we generally see the Vaishnavas. I want to see the prepared to forgive. So we are very reluctant to ask forgiveness. Vaishnava, because he's engaged in Krishna's service, he's very kind. Patitanam bhavaneyo vaishnava. Any other questions? Yasman no vijite loko lokan no vijite chukat arsha arsha vyote garis yukta sansaki. The 12th chapter, where Krishna is talking about the qualifications of a devotee. Yasman no vijite loco. One who doesn't agitate others. Udvega means to agitate. One who doesn't agitate others. Materialists like to agitate, like children. You know, they like to tease other children, get them to cry, call them bad names or insult them. And then when the kid is totally agitated, then they're happy. And there are adults who haven't gotten over that same habit. They're happy. They can cause, they can insult others. There was an article I saw in some newspaper, the culture of the artful moved down. And one is admired, in materialistic society, one is admired if you can really put it in his eye, if you can really send a zinging insult. And everybody loves. There are certain radio show hosts or television show hosts who specialize in insulting their guests, and they have millions of listeners. So, one who doesn't agitate others. And yasman no vijitate loko, and lokan no vijitate, one who's not agitated by others. That's the qualification. He doesn't seek to cause agitation to anyone, nor does anyone else. Does he become agitated by anyone else? Tom's picture is about his time. He is equal in happiness or distress. So Yoga, he's connected with Krishna. Samasuti, therefore he's happy. Krishna is appreciating these qualities of the devotee. We should try to. Well, there are various. You can immediately glorify that devotee. Somebody says, you know, this person, yeah, but, and then you start glorifying the devotee that purifies the atmosphere. Or you can immediately change the subject. They're having fantastic snowstorms in Sweden these days. Or you can let the person know, Prabhu, I just can't hear about it. The bad qualities of the devotees. Or Raghunathas Vishnu, you could say all the devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord. Or worst case, cover your ears and leave. There have been occasions, I can think of some large assemblies where Vaishnava Bhagavads were committed. And under those circumstances, it was quite appropriate for people just to pick up and go, not to stay. To stay and listen to Vaishnava Bhagavads is also a Vaishnava Bhagavad. That's another strategy, just pick up and go. If you're in a superior position, you can tell the person off. Prabhupada did. None of my disciples
not in my Guru Maharaj's disciples or masters. You put the person in his place if you're in that superior position. Who gave you the right? Really let him have it. That would be good for you. If you have that prerogative. Pick up a book and start reading out loud. For example, from the fourth canto about Dakshayagya, or from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the devotee who offended Srivasa Thakur, or the one who offended Haridasa. Pick up and read some appropriate passage that you can manage. And then there are different approaches you can take. But you don't want to sit there and listen to them. Yes, way in the back there. I think it's the last question because Tom is this.
Maharaj, this is a common phenomenon according to this one from what I've seen, that when one starts chanting and you're very enthusiastic and you see a lot of data from the chanting, and then as you go by, as time goes by, one seems to become with a relaxing one's chanting. And the nectar seems to disappear almost. But the verse is saying that it's another way around. So how does one explain?
Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishchaya Karya, enthusiasm, patience, confidence, determination, associating with devotees, following the principles. Then the result will come. We see that practically in any practice. You take it up with great enthusiasm. And in the very beginning, it's like fantastic, and then it starts to get hard. Take up playing the flute in the first couple of lessons, it's like so fantastic, and then after that, it starts to get hard. You say, oh, I'm going to play flute. Anything that involves practice may seem, you know, for the first hour, for the first day, for the first few days, it may seem just fantastic, and then you realize that, gee, I'm going to have to practice if I'm going to get good at this. It's not just a one-shot. So devotional service, if we're going to make serious progress, involves following regular principles, attentively chanting. It's not just chanting. First you think, well, all I can do is chant. And that's true. But then, because I'm chanting, if I'm chanting a little fortunately, I come to the next stage of development. If I'm going to be successful in this chanting, I have to avoid these 10 offenses. So then it becomes more of a serious project. But then one makes tremendous advancement. I can do that. So we should follow Rupa Goswami's advice. We should remain enthusiastic. We should have confidence in the outcome. We should remain patient and determined. We should follow the regular principles of devotional service for proper guidance. We should give up that association. And we should follow the footsteps of the great devotees. And persistency. Devotion will we will become successful. No doubt. Shall we stop here? So we will continue and we complete the book tomorrow. Thank you very much. Thank you.